So Lord, open up our eyes, we pray, and help us to see the wonderful things that you want to teach us from your scriptures this morning, that our lives may be transformed to be more like Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Imagine for a minute that you met someone who was from a completely different part of the world where they had never heard anything about Jesus or about Christianity. Maybe they're from a rural village in China or from some remote tribe in the Arctic or something like that. And they come to you and they say, can you explain to me, what is all this stuff about? What is this Christian faith and religion all about? What would you tell them? Where would you start? Maybe you'd begin by saying something about the Creator, telling them that there is a God who made this whole world and who loves us. Maybe you'd tell them something about the crisis of the world, that human beings have managed to mess it up and that we've gone wrong. But sooner or later, I think you'd have to come on to a third thing. You'd have to say something about the cross, the Creator, the crisis, but you'd have to say something about the cross. What is this thing that's at the center of Christianity? Because your friend from faraway places would have probably already noticed that there's something about the cross. Maybe they would have seen, like here today, that there's a cross on display in a church. They might have heard hymns about the old rugged cross or the wondrous cross. And they'd want to know, what is it about the death of Jesus that's so important and significant? Why does it matter so much? It'd be very confusing and mysterious to someone that was looking at it for the first time. Might have told the story before about the 1966 World Cup, when the Soccer World Cup was held in England, and one of the countries that qualified was North Korea, and that was, as it still is today, a communist country where any mention of God was banned. And for some reason, the North Korean team had their accommodation in a convent or monastery in, I think it was Liverpool, somewhere like that. And they were utterly confused by this crucifix that was on the wall, this image of Jesus on the cross. And they wondered what on earth that was doing as a decoration. Who was this man in pain on this cross, and why did he seem to be so important? Well, one of the best places we can turn to understand what the cross is all about is Isaiah 53, words that were written hundreds of years before Jesus lived, but which explain the sacrifice that he made on the cross. And it's very significant for Remembrance Sunday as well, as we'll see in a minute. Isaiah 53 tells us that sacrifice is at the very heart of Christianity. It's at the heart of the Christian way of life, and it's at the heart of the Christian way of salvation. So let's look at those very quickly. First of all, the cross is central to the Christian way of life, because the life that we're called to is a life of sacrifice, not selfishness. Jesus Christ himself came to live a life of sacrifice. It says in Mark chapter 10, he came not to be served, but to serve. It says in Philippians 2 that he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant. It's amazing when you think about it. When you think of God's own Son coming down into the world, you might imagine that he would come as a mighty, conquering hero, all-powerful, for people to bow down before him. But in fact, he came as a humble servant to give himself up. Isaiah says, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. Verse 3 there, he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. If you're looking for a leader who's a kind of a powerful superhero and nothing ever goes wrong for them, and everybody just immediately recognizes their greatness, then you'd be very disappointed in Jesus, because he's not like that. He's a suffering servant. But if you are struggling I'm going through grief and disappointment and hardship and trials, then you'll find it hugely comforting to know that the Lord Jesus Christ understands your pain. And he feels it himself because he has suffered himself. So he came as a sacrifice, and he calls us to live our lives as a sacrifice. Not to try to make ourselves comfortable, but to give ourselves to others. Jesus shows us that there's a tremendous power in giving up things for others. It's one of the reasons why the First World War has so much hold on our imagination still, and it's 101 years since it ended. And I was wondering a little bit after the 100th anniversary, would it start to sort of fizzle out a wee bit, and would it begin to be forgotten? But I don't think it will be, because World War I has so many stories of sacrifice. You might have heard, for example, of a young man from came from Portadown, I think it was, in County Armagh. He was called Billy McFadden. And he died when he threw himself on top of a grenade that had come into the trench there. And he was blown up to save those around him. We might think of the inscription that's found on some war cemeteries out in the Far East. It says, "When you go home, tell them of us and say, for your tomorrow, we gave our today." The power of sacrifice, the power of giving ourselves up. And we may not be called to go to a foreign country to fight in a war, but we are called to have it as our goal to help others and to serve them. And we need to ask ourselves, might I be called to do today that would be costly for me but beneficial for someone else? Who is there that I could reach out to in love, even though it may be inconvenient for me? Sometimes God may call us to a life of sacrifice and service. I was reading recently a book by Maud Kells. She's a woman from County Tyrone, from Cookstown, who served as a missionary nurse in Congo, in Africa. And she made several sacrifices. First, when she answered the call to be a missionary nurse in Africa, she left behind the prospect of much better pay and much better conditions that she could have had in Northern Ireland to go to a risky and dangerous place and serve there. But I was also very moved to read about a second sacrifice that she made when she put her missionary work on hold to come back and to care for her elderly father in the last years of his life. And only after that did she return to Africa. Now, none of us knows what course our life is going to take and what way we'll be called to serve God, but often he will lead us to do something that will be difficult and that will feel like it's a sacrifice. If there's no sacrifice in our lives, if our life is totally easy and comfortable and it's just going swimmingly all the time, then we need to ask ourselves, are we even on the track that God has for us? Because he calls us very often to sacrifice for the sake of others. The cross is at the center of Christian life. But then, more briefly, the cross is also at the center of the Christian way of salvation. Think back to our visitor from a faraway country. Remember him? We said we're trying to explain to him about Christianity. What's it all about? And, he might be saying now, did Jesus die just to give us an example to follow? Did he die just to teach us not to be selfish? And you would say, no, there's a little bit more than that. His death did something. It achieved something. And again, you might turn back to Isaiah 53 when you were explaining it to him. And you'd look at verse 4 that says, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering." And then verse 5, "He was pierced for our transgressions." That's for the wrong we've done. "He was crushed for our iniquities." the impure things in our lives. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And at the end of verse 6, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So the cross is a great exchange. If you imagine for a minute that this book was a record of my life or yours, anybody's life, and it would contain lots of wonderful things that we've done that we're proud of, but it would also contain a lot of unfavorable things that we wouldn't really want anyone to see if it was a record of everything that we've thought and said and done. And if you imagine this hand as me, then this weight of our sin is there pressing us down and cutting us off from God. Imagine he's up above here. And Jesus comes along, and of course, he has no wrongdoing in his life. He was perfect. And it says that on the cross, the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. So imagine that book now is transferred across to the other hand, and Jesus pays for that sin, and we can go free. That's the great exchange that took place when Jesus died on the cross. That's why it's called good news. That's why we celebrate the cross, even though it's the loss of someone very dear to us, the Son of God. It is the place where we find forgiveness and freedom. And down through history, countless people have found their lives transformed by understanding that Jesus died for them. One little story of someone who's a little figure from history that I admire a lot, a man called Charles Simeon. And he lived in the 1700s, and he was a minister in the Church of England, great teacher and preacher. And the way he came to living faith in God was that he went up to be a student in Cambridge. And one of the conditions of being in the college there was you had to take Holy Communion 3 times a year. And it was coming up to Easter. And he was very, very burdened because he was so aware of all that was wrong in his life. He felt utterly unworthy to take communion. He felt terrified, actually, at the thought of going up and receiving this bread and wine because of what was wrong in his life. And then, reading a book, he began to understand how Jesus on the cross had taken all of that sin on himself and paid for it. And the way Charles Simeon describes it, he says, he realized, what can I transfer my guilt to someone else? Has God provided a sacrifice, an offering for me, that I may lay my sins on him? Well, then, God willing, I will not bear them on my soul for one moment longer. And he says, from that hour, peace flowed in such rich abundance into my soul. And at the Lord's table, I had the sweetest access to God through my blessed Savior. So what was the thing that brought him peace with God? It was realizing that the sacrifice of Jesus had meant he no longer had to be guilty. He no longer had to pay for his sin. But it had been dealt with, taken away, lifted from him. There's the cross. That's why we want to turn our friend from Outer Mongolia or wherever he is that we're trying to explain Christianity to. We want to take him to the cross because that's where we have not only the pattern for us to live by, sacrificing for others, but we have the place where we find life and hope and peace, the cross where Jesus died to take away the sins of the world. So let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, on this Remembrance Day, we thank you for the sacrifice of all who've gone before and paid the ultimate cost in times of war and conflict. And we thank you for your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross so that we may be forgiven and free. We ask, Lord, that you would turn our hearts to him, that we would unburden ourselves of all our guilt and follow and serve him in sacrificial love to the end of our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.